This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stachow. Christina Baker Klein is interested in hidden stories, the ones that didn't make it into the textbooks, but nevertheless reveal a particular piece of our past. Her novel Orphan Train told the story of children who were shipped across the country to foster homes in the early 20th century. Her latest book is called A Piece of the World, and it reveals the untold story behind Andrew Wyeth's famous painting called Christina's World. Both are tales of women forced to contend with tough realities beyond their control. And in both books, the scrappy protagonists respond with resilience and resolve. Christina Baker Klein is no slouch herself. Her painstaking research and hard work contributed to great literary success. She sold nearly 4 million copies of Orphan Train, and she'll be talking about it at an event benefiting the Durham Literacy Center tomorrow night. And she joins us now to talk about both books. Christina Baker Klein, welcome to The State of Things.
Hi, thanks for having me.
I understand that perhaps your upbringing in Maine may have led to your interest in characters like the ones in Orphan Train and A Piece of the World. Is that right?
Yes, but I will also tell you that my North Carolina grandmother, who lived in Gastonia, my mother grew up in Gastonia, was really a model both for the elderly woman in my in Orphan Train, the novel you were talking about originally, and Piece of the World, my new book as well. My grandmother, Christina Curtis, was born in North Carolina. She grew up in a rural setting, really hard scrabble life, and had to grow up very quickly. And she was also a great storyteller. So I think it was partly that, actually. I always talk about it. In fact, when I come to Durham tomorrow, when I do the Literacy Foundation, I'll be talking about her and about all my North Carolina roots. I have so many.
Did you know her here, or did you know about her? So you visited, and you were in Gastonia.
Lived in Gastonia, actually. Oh. And when my parents were young. My dad was a young professor. He was teaching in Charlotte, and we lived all over the South. My parents are, my dad's from Georgia, my mother from North Carolina. They both went to Furman, but we have about 20 family members who went to Duke. So we actually have a real connection to Duke, and my son Will is currently a senior there.
So Maine really has nothing to do with it.
There's nothing at all. No, Maine does have something to do with it. We moved to Maine because my dad got a job as a history professor at the University of Maine. And I always tell people that when we moved to Maine, my sister and I were born and raised in England because my parents had both done graduate work there. So we moved to Maine. My parents had Southern accents. My sister and I had English accents. And nobody quite knew what to do with us.
And I understand that it was a kind of a fluke comment from a friend that led you to write your latest book, A Piece of the World. Is that right?
Yeah, it's actually never happened to me before. I'm a writer. I've written a lot of books. I have 7 novels and 5 nonfiction books. And I had written Orphan Train, and it was sort of this, you know, not to be cliched about it, but it was sort of a runaway train in itself. Nothing like that had ever happened to me before, which is that the book just sort of took off and I was running behind it, basically. So that was sort of consuming for a long time. And then in the middle of it, I sat down with a friend who's a writer. We were talking about artists' muses because she's Indian, actually, and was talking about Indian artists and sort of wondering about writing about one of them. And then she just turned to me out of the blue and said, you know, there's that painting hanging at MoMA, Christina's World, reminds me of you, which was such a strange thing. And in that exact moment, I knew that I was going to write the story of the woman in the painting. Because I grew up, once we moved to Maine, we were about an hour from where that painting was actually done.
This is for those of us who are not familiar with it, it's an Andrew Wyeth, well-known painting. It's in MoMA.
Right. It's called Christina's World. It's by Andrew Wyeth. And if you Google the words Christina's World, you'll see 1,000 images of it. It's a woman in a pink dress sitting in a field looking at this sort of odd, forbidding house, gray house in the distance. By the way, I'm coming back in February. The book is coming out in paperback, so I'll be doing a slideshow then about that book. But tomorrow night, I'll be talking about Orphan Train. Anyway, so Christina's World is this painting that I grew up with. It was hanging on the wall in my kitchen. My name is Christina. My mother and grandmother from North Carolina are also Christina. So there were just all these many sort of resonances in my life, and I just immediately knew that that was what I would write about.
Maybe I can ask you to read for us, will you?
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Do you want? So I should read from Orphan Train, though, right? Because I'm coming to talk about that.
I mean, you can. We're talking. Why don't we? I'll tell you what. Let's do this for a second. How about if we stick with A Piece of the World for now?
Do you really want me to read? Because people get so bored with readings, don't you think? I could read you a paragraph.
Just a paragraph, and maybe you can set it up for us. That'll be nice because you'll tell it in a much more natural voice about what's going on in this book, set up the plot, and then we'll get a little sense of the literary skill. You know, just a little piece.
Oh, all right. I tend to read just a small amount in my readings because when I go to readings, I always like to hear more about what the author thinks about the work. But yeah. I am happy to do that. Okay, so this novel, Christina's, which is called A Piece of the World, we all the way through it, by the way, when I was working on this book, we called it Christina's World. And then at the very end, my publisher said, it sounds like a memoir, like because my name is Christina, which oddly enough had not occurred to me. But so we changed the name to A Piece of the World. Okay, so I'll just read you the first paragraph of the book.
Okay.
And by the way, I should tell you, I worked really hard in both of these books to stick to the facts of the story. So as much as possible, what you read in these novels really did occur. In A Piece of the World in particular, the relationship between Andrew Wyeth and his muse, Christina, is fairly well documented. And chagrin of some readers, because Christina, the woman, the real-life woman, was a stubborn, irascible person, and she was not always easy to like. And my job as novelist, in part, was to make her fully human so that even if you didn't necessarily agree with some of the things she did, you would understand why she did them.
Well, let's put off your dreaded reading for just a moment and talk more about that story and about his relationship, because if we talk about the painting, she's certainly a sympathetic character in the painting. One of the reasons it's so well known and so well loved is because of the amount of, I think, of sympathy and the way in which you identify with this character. And it was his muse. So maybe why don't you tell us a little more about the story and about their relationship?
What's wonderful about the painting Christina's World, and one of the reasons that it resonates so with viewers, why it's one of the most popular paintings at the Museum of Modern Art in New York City. It's their most popular postcard. It's been widely parodied and used in movies and television and all kinds of places. That's part of what I talk about when I do this slideshow, is that there's something Mona Lisa-like about the character in that she is enigmatic. You can't quite tell what's going on. She, at first glance, once upon a time, Andrew Wyeth's reputation, by the way, has gone through a kind of interesting journey. He was greatly admired for many years. And then in the 60s, with the rise of pop art and minimalism and modern art, he was derided by critics as a reactionary painter, as a boring realist, which is not actually what he is. They now identify him as, they call it metaphoric realism, he sort of heightens aspects of ordinary experience in a supernatural way. So in Christina's World, there's this quality to it that's a little bit otherworldly if you study it closely, and there's something about the figure that isn't quite right. And the truth is, in real life, his model, Christina, this woman, was much older than she looks in the painting, but she also was disabled, severely disabled, with a degenerative muscular disease. And so he gives you a hint of that, but you don't exactly know what's going on. In real life, he was 22 years old. It was his 22nd birthday when he showed up at her door with a 17-year-old girl whom he married 10 months later. Betsy Wyeth became his wife for the rest of his life. And Christina lived in this rickety farmhouse on the coast of Maine with her brother and was a quote-unquote spinster and had sort of a difficult life. And he came into her life and transformed it. He adored her. He himself felt like an outsider, which is hard to believe because he was movie star handsome and incredibly charming, very, very charismatic. But he identified with her, and he gave her agency in all these ways. And so for me, as a writer, to stumble on this story and really get to the heart of what their relationship was and what the power was between them, it was very exciting. And so I had all this wonderful material. Andrew Wyeth's biographer, Richard Merriman, just the best book. I've read it like three times, this big, juicy biography of Wyeth. The two men were great friends, and Merriman managed to get these incredible quotes out of Andrew Wyeth about his painting and how he felt about the world and how he felt about Christina Olsen. So I had a lot of great material to draw from.
Well, now you've really whetted our appetite for a little portion of this book.
Okay.
I think it's time to read a little something from it, don't you?
Okay. I'll read a paragraph. Okay. So this is the very beginning. And by the way, this first line is true. Okay. Later, he told me he'd been afraid to show me the painting. He thought I wouldn't like the way he portrayed me, dragging myself across the field, fingers clutching dirt, my legs twisted behind. The arid moonscape of wheatgrass and timothy, that dilapidated house in the distance, looming up like a secret that won't stay hidden. Faraway windows, opaque and unreadable, ruts in the spiky grass leading nowhere, dishwater sky. So I'll just read you another couple lines farther down. He did get one thing right. Sometimes a sanctuary, sometimes a prison. That house on the hill has always been my home. I've spent my life yearning toward it, wanting to escape it, paralyzed by its hold on me. There are many ways to be crippled, I've learned over the years, many forms of paralysis. My ancestors fled to Maine from Salem, but like anyone who tries to run away from the past, they brought it with them. Something inexorable seeds itself in the place of your origin. You can never escape the bonds of family history, no matter how far you travel. And the skeleton of a house can carry in its bones the marrow of all that came before.
Christina,
that's fine.
Christina Baker Klein is reading from her latest novel, A Piece of the World. She's going to be reading from her 2013 bestseller, Orphan Train, which I promise we'll talk about. It's a ticketed event at the 21C Museum Hotel in Durham tomorrow evening, and we are talking about it right now on The State of Things.
Yeah, and let me also just say, I'm doing this as a benefit for the Durham Literacy Foundation. It's an amazing organization, and they help children in your area. And I think there are about two dozen, or maybe a dozen, seats left, tickets left. And they're only $30. If you come to the VIP reception, you get a book. I think it's $100 if you add that on. And I'll sign and personalize a book for you, and you get one as part of your whatever. But it's going to be really fun. And the slideshow that I have about Orphan Train is just really interesting because it's all these archival photographs that are rare and interest and show the real story of the Orphan Train.
Tell us more about this, the Orphan Train, and how you got interested in that story.
So that's another personal connection, in as much as this one is, I suppose. So a number of years ago, my son, who's now a senior at Duke, as I mentioned, my other son, who's a senior in college also, and my child, I now have a high school senior, were 8, 7, and 3. So quite a while ago, we were visiting my in-laws in Fargo, North Dakota. My husband is Midwestern, upper Midwest, and we were stuck inside during a blizzard, as one often is there when you go during the holidays. And on the third day, my mother-in-law pulled a book off the shelf that she'd actually never looked at, but it was filled with newspaper articles from her hometown, this little town called Jamestown in North Dakota. She started leafing through it with the boys, and they came across an article called, they called it Orphan Train, and it proved there was a home for many children on the prairie. And it was an astounding article because she'd never heard of the orphan trains, and apparently dozens, if not hundreds, of children from the trains had ended up in Jamestown. And she'd grown up during that period, so she should have known about it, number one. And number two, her father was featured in this article,
wow,
and he had never said a word. So that was what set me on the path of learning about the orphan trains, and I've learned that it's essentially a secret that's been hidden in plain sight. Right. 250,000 children were sent on trains over 75 years from the East Coast, mostly New York City, mostly Grand Central Station, to the Midwest. There are now more than 4 million descendants of those orphan train riders, and the children were sent in a labor program. They were indentured and contracted until the age of 18 and 21. They were essentially slave labor, I mean, depending on the situation. And I always say that the people who took in the train riders were as varied as human nature, meaning some of them were nice and some of them were not. And there was no regulation at all, so it was a crapshoot. You had no, it was completely up to luck or chance.
What do you do in a story that has built in this kind of drama, but you really have to get it down to some kind of granular level, create characters who we're going to identify with, that we're going to love, and create relationships that are going to sustain? How do you go from that big scale down to what you did in a successful novel?
Oh my gosh, that is the key question. That is a perfect question. And I'm actually wrestling with it right now because I'm doing another enormous book, like story, like Orphan Train, which is just this big movement that a lot of people don't know about, which I can talk about at the end. But anyway, that's exactly what you do, is you make it granular. You focus on character. You create people that your readers want to take this journey with, because it is an odyssey and you need to have a way in. And so with Orphan Train, a lot of people wondered why I didn't just tell the story from in the moment of the train riders. And I do tell that. I mean, that story is in the book. But I tell it from the perspective of this 91-year-old woman who survived the trains and has kept the secret, because I was so privileged to tell this story, to stumble on the story at a moment when I could be a part of living history. When I started the book, there were 150 living train riders. When I finished the book, there were about 25, and now they're all gone.
Christina, anybody wants to hear more, they're going to have to hear you at 21C
Museum
Hotel.
Oh, good. We'll talk about it tomorrow night.
Christina Baker Klein is the author of 5 novels, including her latest, A Piece of the World. Going to be reading from her 2013 bestseller, Orphan Train, at a ticketed event at 21C Museum Hotel in Durham tomorrow night. Christina, what a pleasure. Thank you so much for talking with us.
Great talking to you. Thanks.
You can find out more at our website, stateofthings.org, a program produced by Anita Rao, Charlie Shelton Orman, Laura Pelliser, Jennifer Brooklyn. Robin Copley is our technical director. North Carolina Public Radio is a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.